rallied. The continuity of government in the United States, the continuity of alliance in the Atlantic and in the Pacific made this so. President Johnson reaffirmed the Kennedy policies to fight communist guerrillas in Asia. President Johnson had the government assure all other governments, friend and foe alike, that we suspected no foreign power of plotting the end of the life of our president. Nikita Khrushchev of Russia responded by paying tribute to the realism of John Fitzgerald Kennedy and his positive acts, such as the nuclear test ban treaty, that could one day possibly end the Cold War. The Secretary of State assured all nations that they need not send high-ranking dignitaries to prove, as it were, their feelings for America. But the notables filled the sky with their airplanes anyway. President Charles de Gaulle, King Haile Selassie, Chancellor Ludwig Erhard, Queen Frederica. Oh, yes, she was from Greece. Nearly 100 of them who insisted that they mark their nation present in the funeral that would be held on Monday, on this day. And the people, our own people, they must not be neglected. John Fitzgerald Kennedy was returned to his people on Sunday. He lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol. The people formed in two lines. They moved past the catafalque that had borne the body of Lincoln. Within hours, the line extended 9 miles into the cold night of Washington. When the rotunda was shut, nearly a quarter of a million had passed by the closed coffin with the American flag on top, the two dignified wreaths beneath, the servicemen at attention at each corner, always in silence. And by funeral time at 10 o'clock this morning, the quarter of a million had been replaced by a million and more in the cold Washington air. They formed canyons of people all along bright Pennsylvania Avenue, to the White House and beyond. Millions of eyes from all over the world watched the six white chargers, the caisson, and the black riderless horse move slowly down Pennsylvania Avenue, pause at the White House where Mrs. Kennedy led the honored guests on foot, a six-block march to St. Matthew's Cathedral, where Richard Cardinal Cushing of Boston prayed for the peace of the soul of the departed president. Whereas the caisson left for Arlington, little John, who was three today, was told he could salute now. Now he could salute his father. And he did. Where Caroline, who will be six on Wednesday, broke down in uncontrollable sobbing as she followed the casket of her father from the church. Where Mrs. Kennedy, for the first time in 3 days of the nightmare, bent over and shook as if in pain. Then she righted herself for the final ordeal of the drama. Then the graveside ceremony, marching Irish cadets, the salutes, the handing of the flag, the 25th flag handed to a widow on this cold November day in Arlington. St. Matthew's Cathedral, St. Matthew. Could it have been coincidence that St. Matthew, among all apostles, was the truly universal philosopher and reporter, the man of Christ?